Goldfield Bandit's stolen loot still hasn't been found. The Triscuit gang underestimated the citizens of Sailor's Diggins, which became a fatal error when they went on a shooting spree downtown, but the $75,000 they stole has never been recovered. This is a story about the gold rush in southern Oregon. It's a good one, and there may actually be a whole lot of gold out there somewhere. You could find it if you happen to be really lucky. I'm going to tell you the story in a minute, but first let me introduce myself. My name is Finn J.D. John, and I do a weekly newspaper column called Offbeat Oregon History. This column, I started it in 2008, and currently it runs in about a dozen community newspapers around the state. It tells the stories of Oregon history that nobody knows about. Stories of heroes and rascals, of shipwrecks and lost gold, Shanghaied sailors and Skid Row bordellos and pirates and robbers and buried treasure and unsolved mysteries. Things like that. Now, this RSS feed is set up to bring you a column from the archives of Offbeat Oregon History every morning in your choice of text and pictures or audio-only formats. Today's episode ran in the newspapers on June 26, 2011, and I'm going to read it to you now. After a former Oregon farmer found gold at Sutter's Mill in 1848, people from Oregon raced southward to start grubbing it out of the ground. The next year, people from the East Coast raced westward with the same idea. By a year after that, it was getting to be hard to find a good patch of pay dirt that didn't already have a miner or two working it. New prospectors might spend years poking around little mountain creeks before finding one worth working, and prospecting was hard work. Increasingly, people started to realize that there were actually several different ways a fellow could work the diggings. One could look for gold the old-fashioned way, of course, but one could also go into business selling stuff at inflated prices to prospectors. Many Oregon farmers got very rich this way. There was another way, too. One could simply make a $5 investment in one of those new-fangled .44 caliber Colt Dragoon revolvers, then go find a successful miner and rob him. There was one particular group of frontier rowdies who opted to follow this last path. They were known as the Triscuit Gang. Now, this name sounds a little bit like a Disney movie from the late 1960s, doesn't it? Maybe a sequel to the Apple Dumpling Gang? In reality, though, these guys were anything but lovable. They were named not after a yet-to-be-invented Nabisco snack cracker, but rather after brothers Jack and Henry Triscuit. In their little band were three other thugs, Fred Cooper, Miles Hearn, and Chris Slover. The story of the Triscuit gang's last day is a bit fuzzy. I haven't been able to track down a solid source for the details. A trip to the Josephine County Historical Society in Grants Pass would probably be very helpful in firming them up. But here's the gist of the story. In early August of 1852, the Triscuiteros were on the run. They'd robbed a few people in California, as guys like them are wont to do, and they were heading north with some armed, angry citizens on their tails, trying to lose themselves in the wilderness for a while till things cooled off. They arrived one afternoon in a little town called Sailor's Diggins, which today is a ghost town known as Waldo. About 5 miles north of the border of California, near the present-day town of Cave Junction, Sailor's Diggins was essentially an overgrown mining camp. But it was booming. At a time when the entire state of Oregon had fewer than 10,000 occupants, Sailor's Diggins was home to several thousand. The mountains nearby were especially rich, and on that particular day, almost every able-bodied man was out working them. The five bandits quickly found the saloon. They went inside and started drinking their stolen gold. After a time, nicely sozzled, they wandered out into the street. Probably they were contemplating the need to get out of Sailor's Diggins immediately. A town that size would be the first place the posse would check when trying to get a fix on them. Maybe it was this thought that made Fred Cooper snap. Bandits aren't known for self-discipline. Maybe he wanted more than anything to hang around that saloon all afternoon, leisurely drinking and flirting and maybe hiring some female companionship for the evening, all those things that bad guys dream about doing with their ill-gotten gains. Maybe he was standing there outside that nice little saloon just getting madder and madder at having to leave and plunge into the woods and start poking around for a tree to sleep under. Maybe. Nobody knows, really. What is known is that instead of heaving a heavy sigh and heading for the city limits, Fred pulled out his pistol and without a word gunned down a random citizen who was walking down the street minding his own business. The rest of the gang leaped into action, if that's the right word. The five of them stormed down the street, simply killing everyone they saw. At least two women were raped as well. Then, as they were leaving town, they paused, hustled down to the assaying depot, and cleaned it out, roughly $75,000 worth of freshly mined gold. This they loaded onto two stolen horses and left town. Now, Sailor's Diggins was right in the middle of the mining action. Many of the miners could hear the gunfire and knew something was very wrong. By the time the Triscuit gang was leaving town, they were starting to arrive, probably with loaded weapons in hand. The 17 dead bodies still bleeding in the streets were their wives, children, and aged relatives. You can imagine how they reacted. All it took was one well-hidden survivor to yell, "They went that away!" and the posse was off. Weighed down with almost 250 pounds of gold, the bandits weren't moving very fast, and the posse soon caught them up. The band members must have been surprised at how quickly the angry citizens got on their trail. After a short pursuit, the bad guys turned at bay on the top of a little hill just outside O'Brien. I haven't been able to learn much about the ensuing firefight. Presumably at least a few of the miners were killed. After all, the Triscuit gang were professional gunmen, and were able to pick the place where they made their final stand. They also had the advantage of being up on top of a hill. I also don't know if the bad guys tried to surrender. It's certainly possible they didn't. All they had to look forward to was humiliation and hanging. In any case, when the shooting stopped, four gang members were dead, one was dying, and there was no sign anywhere of the 250 pounds of gold dust they'd hijacked from the depot. To this day, that gold has never been recovered, or rather, if it has, whoever found it was remarkably discreet about it. Treasure hunters still come to the O'Brien area to look for it. Most of them assume the gang hid it somewhere on the hill where they made their stand. But it's far more likely, isn't it, that they squirreled it away earlier, maybe when they first realized they were being pursued? It's a lot harder to run away from an angry mob when you're leading a pack horse, isn't it? Well, if that's the case, it could be almost anywhere in the woods between Waldo and O'Brien, probably within a few dozen yards of the road. By the way, the stash would be worth about $5.5 million today. And that's July 2011 prices. Gold is even more expensive right now at the time of this reading, in early 2012. Lots of money. So if you've got something to do on your vacation time, you feel like going out there into the woods outside of O'Brien and looking for the loot, have at it. Just be sure and tip your waiters and waitresses, meaning me. That's it for today. You can check out all the columns and subscribe to either RSS feeds by going to www.offbeatoregon.com. Both Offbeat Oregon Du Jour feeds are optimized for smartphone use, but they work great on a tablet or netbook or even an old-fashioned computer as well. Everything here is covered under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license. Thanks for listening. Drop me a line anytime at finn@offbeatoregon.com or if you do Twitter, @offbeatoregon. Especially if you're going to be in the Corvallis area and have time for a cup of coffee. I'll be back tomorrow around 6 a.m. with the next episode, and until then, well, happy trails!